Oakland-born Damian Lillard.
Now, what a second season for Damian Lillard.
Last year's Rookie of the Year, an All-Star this year. It's Lillard. He got the shot off. Lillard got it! And the Blazers win the series for the first time in 14 years!
This is Damian Lillard from the Portland Trail Blazers, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with George Buscarino on KOAL 750 AM.
Drive Time Sports, KOAL 103.9 FM, 750 AM. NBA playoff basketball right now, the big topic, of course, in the national sports scene. It even overshadows, for a moment, the NFL draft. And we're going to talk NBA basketball right now with Jameson Welsh, good friend of the show. He's from BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. Jameson, great as always to get you on. Thank you.
Not a problem, man. Thanks for always having me. I definitely appreciate it.
Let's talk about the NBA playoffs. Last night, we had two games that weren't exactly entertaining. Atlanta taking care of a shorthanded Boston squad. That was a series going into the postseason that I was 50-50 on. Injuries, the killer right now to the Boston Celtics. Everybody will talk about the injury to Avery Bradley. The Kelly Olynyk injury doesn't help matters any. And then you look at San Antonio and Memphis. This was a series that if you'd have told me at the beginning of the season we'd get in the first round, I would have been amped for it because Memphis and San Antonio have a great history of giving us some thrillers in the postseason. Unfortunately, injuries have derailed both series.
Yeah, unfortunately, injuries have, they have. But, you know, that's kind of how it goes sometimes. So sometimes But we knew Memphis, the situation they were in going, you know, before this whole playoff series started. Whenever you're missing your two best players and you're out there signing guys from the D-League to try to come in and whatnot, it's a tough situation. You know, it's when you got three D-League players on your roster in minutes and then you have Matt Barnes and Tony Allen trying to be offensive guys, that's going to be a tough situation going in, especially going against San Antonio with home court advantage. That's going to be a short series right there. But that's kind of how it goes. Injuries are part of the game, unfortunately. You got to go through them.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't favor the spectator, but it is part of the game. Unfortunately for Memphis, the injuries are just way too much to overcome. We're talking about two all-star caliber players. That's not the case in Boston. Boston doesn't necessarily have that go-to all-star caliber player at the moment. They have borderline all-stars. I mean, Isaiah Thomas has gone to an all-star game, I get that, but he's not a bona fide all-star. Memphis has two bona fide all-stars that they're missing in this series.
Absolutely, you're absolutely correct. Memphis has two guys that have been to multiple all-star games and whatnot. And also, I mean, Mike Conley doesn't get the respect, but if he played in the East, he'd be an all-star player. You know, so they've had guys. I mean, hey, I'll put it this way. You know, Marc Gasol made an all-NBA first team. You know, the Celtics haven't had a guy like that. So whenever you're missing a guy like that in the middle, you're gonna have some issues. You're going to have a lot of issues, especially what both of those guys do. Both of those guys are probably the first and second best offensive and defensive players on their team. So that being, Tony Allen's one of the best defensive players. But they mean so much to their team. Now, whenever you miss that kind of production, you don't really have a chance. And to put it this way, Memphis would have had a hard time fully healthy. You know,
right,
they would have had a hard
right.
time fully healthy, trying to score and whatnot. Without their two best players, there's absolutely no chance.
Let's move on and talk about the games tonight. First off, Charlotte and Miami. This is a series. You're a Charlotte guy. You really like the way this team was moving towards the end. Jameson, I think they just hit a hot team. And Luol Deng was fantastic for Miami in game one. Dwayne Wade was really able to pick his spots, which is a great sign for the Heat. And then you look at Hassan Whiteside. This is a guy that you and I had talked about just a week ago. He has the ability to take over games individually. It's a tough matchup for Charlotte. Game one kind of it showcased that.
Well, what takes place is this. In this series, one that I didn't think about is that the guys defending Miami's starters and rotation guys, they are at a disadvantage. They're just kind of short. Kemba Walker and Jeremy Lin and Courtney Lee, those are all kind of smaller guys. When compared to the guys that are guarding, Miami starts guys that are all 6'3 and up. You know, Gordon Rockets is 6'3, 6'4, Dwayne Wade 6'4, 6'5, Joe Johnson's around 6'7, Luol Deng around 6'8, and then Hassan Whiteside or Amari Stoudemire is over 6'10. So everyone is, it's a pretty tall lineup there, and it's very hard to defend. But also, we didn't count Luol Deng going for 31. And I don't think that's going to happen again in the playoffs, but he did have a really good game. We got to respect that. Charlotte will make adjustments, and yes, they were a hot team in the second half, the best record in the Eastern Conference in the second half, so they're going to make some adjustments and whatnot. I just don't know if the size the size differential is going to, you know, is going to be able to be made up, because one, Miami's playing hot too. You know, since they went to this lineup, it's almost like a small ball type of lineup. They've been playing well, and also, like you mentioned, Dwayne Wade is able to pick his spots because there's actually lanes to pick his spots in. You know, he's able to pick and choose where he wants to go because there's actually lanes. You got outside shooters on the team now that have created lanes. Also, they have the rookie Josh Richardson, who's played very well, and also Justice Winslow. So they've been okay. You know, the ER team in the East, the Heat might be the second best team in the East right now. I think if you broke everything down and looked at everything, the Heat are the second best team in the league. In the East right now. And I think they're the only team that can give Cleveland some problems in the East.
I agree with you, and I believe that if Chris Bosh was healthy, this would be the team to beat in the East, especially the way they're playing right now. Now, we have the podcast that airs throughout the week, the Triple Threat NBA podcast. I brought this up last night. I want to get your opinion on it. Pat Riley getting the credit that he deserves. Jameson, 2 years ago, the Miami Heat lost the best player in the world via free agency. And I don't buy into the hoopla that LeBron wanted to go back home. LeBron had an idea of where he thought the Heat were moving, you know, what direction they were moving in. You had an aging Dwayne Wade. We were questioning the durability. We didn't know if Chris Bosh was going to be, is he worthy of the contract that Miami signed him to in that offseason? LeBron seen a hole in Cleveland. Regardless what people want to think, he thought he had a better opportunity to win in Cleveland. Pat Riley, in only a year's time, has put the Heat in contention to win an Eastern Conference title, and that's very impressive.
Well, I'm going to put it this way. When I think of the Miami Heat, the one thing that comes to mind is this. They have overcome a lot in the last year and a half, almost 2 years now. I mean, they got lucky. They got a top 10 pick last year with Justice Winslow. That always helps. They drafted well with Josh Richardson as well. But, you know, LeBron left. Let's cut back a little bit. LeBron left not because Miami was getting old or whatever, because even with the older team, they were still the team beating the East. But LeBron left because he could have power. He wasn't going to have that power in Miami. He wasn't going to have his friend in the front office to make decisions. He wasn't going to get his client of his fourth agency, Tristan Thompson, an $85 million contract. Wasn't going to happen. He left Miami because he didn't have power he wanted and desired that he'd have in Cleveland. He wouldn't be able to trade a number one overall pick for a guy in Kevin Love. He wouldn't be able to get a guy traded in Deion Waiters. You know, he didn't have that power in Miami. That's why he left. But Pat Riley and the Miami Heat as an organization, they regrouped. They made a couple solid decisions, and they're right back in the thick of things. It also does help when you have Dwayne Wade, who's been semi-healthy the last couple of years, and also Hassan Whiteside, getting him out of nowhere and turning him into a borderline all-star also helps. And, you know, getting Joe Johnson as a free agent after he got cut, that's huge. That's been the guy that's helped him the most. Even though we know ISO Joe is kind of inconsistent around this time of year, having that guy as a threat from the outside is always a good thing. And, you know, signing Luol Deng last year was a pretty good move, even though I don't know how much Luol Deng has left. But you got to give Miami Heat and the organization a lot of credit, because they could have easily folded up shop and just said, you know what, we're going to go rebuild. But they drafted well, they picked up key guys, and they're right there in the thick of things. So it'll be fun to see a matchup between them and the Cavs, all the storylines and whatnot.
Jameson Welsh, BelieveTheHypeNBA.com, our guest right now. Speaking of LeBron, the Cleveland Cavaliers, they had a battle on their hands in Game 1. I think they're going to have a battle on their hands in Game 2, 3, and 4, and 5, however long the series goes, because Detroit is very well coached. Stan Van Gundy is a great game planner. And they got a guy by the name of Andre Drummond in the middle. He's pretty good as well. I'm not saying Cleveland's going to lose this set. I'm not even going to say that Detroit gets a game. I think they get one, maybe two, Jameson, but a sweep would not shock me here. I just know that they're going to come to play every single night against this Cleveland Cavalier team. And if you're a Pistons fan, that's all you can ask for.
Well, as a Pistons fan, this is a learning lesson. This is a step that you have to take. Every team goes through it. You got to take your lumps where you're going to get, you know, you're going to go in the playoffs for the first time, go through some things, and then hopefully get better going forward. This is a Pistons learning lesson. You take your medicine, you hope you get better in offseason. But they have some pieces on their roster that can actually do some things. And the one guy they traded for, I'm looking at, is Tobias Harris. He's the guy that has to get going. He has to get going for this ball club. Without him, you know, they're in trouble, because on the perimeter, they don't have a whole lot of guys on the wing that can do a whole lot of things. They made a trade for Tobias Harris for this exact situation. Playoff time, when you need a guy that can create off the wing and do something offensively. If he can get them 15 a night in the playoffs, they'll be okay. If he cannot, they're in trouble. He's the guy that has to step his game up. We'll see if he's up to the task.
You bring up Tobias Harris. He has to outperform Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. That's a must. Tobias Harris has to outperform him offensively. He has to.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, if we're having that discussion, we're in a lot of trouble. But Tobias Harris is looked at as an offensive player in the league, a guy that he's a young guy, so I think he's only 23. He's a guy that can get buckets. He's a guy that he on some nights he can go 30. But yes, you're absolutely right. He has to be able to outproduce KCP, and he has to be the guy they need to be able to go to down the stretch because Reggie Jackson obviously isn't that guy. He's not the guy that's going to create and make the best decisions, you know, with 4 minutes left in the game. So you need to be able to throw it to your wing guy, no matter who's guarding him. He needs to be able to get a bucket or get fouled. And Tobias is the only guy on their team that can really do that. The Morris twin is really only a shooter guy, so he's not really a guy that's going to be able to create. So they got to figure out how to really, you know, get Tobias going. And if they can't, then they have other issues. But they got to get him going early and often.
We'll talk about the final game tonight, Portland at the Clippers. Terry Stotts, one of the best coaches in the NBA. I think he's proven that. I think it's fair to put him in the top six, top five coaches in the league the way Portland has performed with the roster that they have. It seems like they're always right there. This is a team now that's the fifth best. They have the fifth best record of the Western Conference. However, they may need a little bit more than coaching in this series to come out on top against the Clippers.
They need another guy to step up. They need a guy, a third guy on the perimeter, whether it's Allen Crabbe or Aminu or Gerald Henderson, whomever it may be. They need another guy that's going to step up and make plays because the Clippers are aggressively trapping Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum on pick and roll. They're aggressively trapping him. So when you're trapping him, you're pretty much saying, all right, well, whoever he's going to pass to isn't going to make a play out of this situation. Whoever he passes to is not a threat. They got to change that, whether it's going small or whatever it may be, because Ed Davis, the Plumlee guy, Harkless, Aminu, when they're getting the ball and the key in that 15 to 17 foot range, that's a problem. That's an issue because they're not able to make plays and make Clippers pay for being at a disadvantage. So until that changes, the Blazers are in trouble. Now, I still think the Blazers will win a game or two in the series, but we spoke about this the other day. I just don't see a whole lot of advantages in the starting lineup for the Portland Trailblazers. Like, the only advantage they have is at the small forward spot, and it's not a great advantage. Aminu's better than Luka Bamute, but it's not by a wide margin. So they really got to outplay it, outthink, and outsmart the Clippers. And Terry Stotts is a wonderful coach, but they got to mix and match the roster and lineups a lot. They got to go small and hope that one of their young wings can get hot. A guy like Allen Crabbe, Gerald Henderson, one of those guys, have to be able to make the Clippers pay for, you know, leaving them open, because Aminu obviously is not a good outside shooter. So they got to find a way to make them pay.
Tonight's a telling game. If Portland can somehow find a way to get a win at Staples Center, I would not dislike their chances to come out on top in the series, because everybody knows very difficult to win on the road in Portland. Very difficult. I could see Portland taking two games.
It is very difficult, Jordan, but a playoff, a young team like Portland. Portland's a very young team. Their team that... this core, this group right here, doesn't have a whole lot of playoff experience.
No, they don't.
So even though at home, you're right, they are a really good home team, it would still be a tough to sweep a team like the Clippers, who have gone to the playoffs the last 4 years and been through a lot of things. It would be tough to get both. They could, but it would be a very tough thing, a young team not really knowing how to, you know, go with adversity and whatnot. But it'll be fun to watch. I think we still have a series on our hands, whether it's 1-1 or 2-0 after tonight. I don't think we have a series, but you're right. If Portland can get this one, we you know, there's some action on Portland at home.
Jamison Walsh, BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. Always great to get you on the show, Jamison. Enjoy the playoff games tonight. We'll catch up again with you real soon.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me.
We're going to pause for just a moment. When we come back, we'll put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports.